Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints. Welcome to episode 208 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints. And I have a special one. This is from behind the barbecue front lines with Nick Solaris. Yes, Nick Solaris, the always great Nick Solaris from Meat Life, his YouTube show. Check it out. I'll put a link below. I know Nick for a while. He was one of my first interviews for this show. He did a barbecue city guide for New York. And I just wanted to check in with him and see how he was doing, how New York was doing. This was recorded 6 weeks into the pandemic, so it's interesting to see this is when it was pretty crazy, and not that it's not crazy now, but he, you know, the sirens every night, the sirens every day. He lives by three major hospitals, and so the sirens and the cheering at 7 o'clock, it's a nice little slice of that time, 6 weeks in the pandemic. He also goes into detail about the meat world in New York and what he is doing. If you check out his Instagram feed or you check out his Instagram, he's cooking all the time. He's getting meat in from people and he's cooking up amazing food. And so we talk about that. He's always traveling, not right now, but he was always traveling. So there's all the new projects that he's doing. We talk about his good friend, Carl Ruiz, his really good friend who passed away last year, and really touching and really heartfelt and really interesting to see that dynamic. I can't thank Nick enough for taking the time during the pandemic to be as blunt as Nick can be about things and life and how his family's. He's just straightforward about what his thoughts are and everything. And the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube series is brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com, or you can visit them in Dripping Springs. Also, AJ's Custom Cookers. AJ Ramirez making custom stuff at ajscustomcookers.com. So I get a hold of him, see what he's doing. All social media still AJ's Custom Cookers. You will be impressed by him as well as his work. I have a YouTube show at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. If you're just checking this out on your local podcast network, I have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. Links to all the podcasts, links to all YouTube stuff, news, tons of articles that I've written, lots of cool stuff. I think you'll enjoy that. Social media, Kevin's BBQ Joints. But at the end, thanks for listening. Be safe. Enjoy. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, week six, I think we're in.
Have you been quarantined, self-isolating?
I've been self-isolating. I mean, at least a week before it was officially mandated. Only because I just, I have family in Taiwan and England, and I had a trip planned to Seoul, South Korea.
Oh, did you?
I was well ahead of, I knew about this back. Like, we canceled it back in February because we saw what was happening. Although, it would have been ironic, but it would have been safer there. There was actually less incidences in late March in Seoul, South Korea than actually are technically having here. I mean, obviously, we don't know because we don't have widespread testing, but...
Yeah, we do not know. And that's, especially California, too. They've talked about how it could be in the hundreds of thousands. I'm sure it is. We just don't know.
I suspect that I had it in... late February, early March, because I had this really weird fever for 3 or 4 days. So who knows? But in any event, the fact is that we've been locked down at least it's over a month, I think, in terms of being mandated. But I think a lot of us had actually, people shut their restaurants down in anticipation of it. Now what we're seeing is we plateaued. So we've, whatever the term is, the flatten the curve, which you think is something. But all that means is that we haven't saturated the ability of our hospitals to absorb the sick, but we have 500 people dying a day. I mean, it's fucking dire out there.
That's not just something that's,
you can be Darwinian about it. Look, I should be fucking Darwinian about it. I'm young ish I work out, I have a protein rich diet, but I don't eat a lot of junk food, right? My metrics are pretty good. My family is ensconced in a nice plush little farmhouse in England somewhere, right?
Yeah, I was going to ask about your family in England.
No, they've been isolating longer than I have, for sure. And they don't go out at all. They're elderly people. They'd have to be my parents.
I think you're just slightly older than me.
So at the same time, if anybody should be out there doing illicit partying and, not social, I'm a good candidate for it. But I felt, maybe for the first time ever in my life, a real sense of civic responsibility. The fact is that we have it in our power to actually beat this thing, And the fact is, it doesn't give a fuck if you're a vegan, a carnivore, a Republican, a Democrat, Christian, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, right?
It doesn't
Muslim,
care.
It doesn't give a fuck. It's here to kill us, right? because that's what it does. It's biological warfare on a very microscopic level, right?
The granular and, level, yes, exactly.
If I'm like the lifelong cynic, if I'm telling you, like, stay the fuck out of restaurants, like that, you know that this is going to be done. Like, this is, you know. So anyway, we flatten the curve here. I'm really, like, proud to be a New Yorker at this point in time. Like, every night at 7 p.m., we applaud the healthcare.
Yeah, how is that? That was another one of my questions I wanted to ask
you. It's pretty moving, to be honest with you. And I live, like, I'm looking out the window here. I see a hospital here. Mount Sinai Beth Israel is here. It's, like, three buildings.
Oh, I know. I didn't know that.
Huge. And then over here is the New York Eye Infirmary of Mount Sinai. And behind me is another giant hospital. So I'm in downtown Manhattan, and we are literally surrounded, and we see cops, and we see... It's very apparent here, and also you may pick it up here, like you hear a lot of sirens.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you hear sirens a lot, I would imagine.
And it's weird because obviously there's been a huge impact in terms of like daily life. So there's no car accidents, there's no bicycle accidents, there's far less. They say that crime is down. I imagine crime is probably down. But the fact is that the people that are out on the streets are committing crimes.
The only ones out there.
So an interesting thing that, like, yes, crime overall is down, but there's more crime happening. Mm-hmm. It's a weird feeling, right? And definitely you go out after dark, and New York is like, it's kind of what New York was like when I moved here in the 80s. For those people that weren't here in the 80s, maybe you've seen a film called Escape from New York. It's kind of like that. Like, it's
holy
like,
shit.
Get out there. Sure, because the only people who are out don't have homes or like are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I happen to be out. I go out. I get up like crazy early and go shopping. It's the only time that the supermarket is like completely empty.
And you also go on bike rides too, I've noticed.
I do. That's great because you can just, the streets are dead. Like I'm driving through Chinatown on, you know, whatever time of the day it is. And it's like the streets are empty. And Chinatown is the most bustling neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really, it's pretty for that sense of isolation, but you feel like the Omega Man or something out there, right? It's just like
it does. Even like I'm in Los Angeles and driving the streets here, it's never been, this feels like, because I grew up in the 70s here, it feels like that from what I can remember seeing in my parents' like station wagon, what it looked like. Right. It didn't seem that crowded, and it just feels now finally everyone's wearing masks when you drive around. So
it's actually the other big change, and really I wasn't wearing a mask when I was riding. I'm also never close to anyone, but they still are now saying that if you're out in public, you must wear a mask.
And that makes sense. Yeah. And I went to a supermarket yesterday, and a guy came in with a bandana, and he was coughing, and you could see it puff out. And so I realized that's part of the reason why, like, to stop
right.
His
hangs in the air. Yeah. I mean, look, we're going to face these things. We faced it 100 years ago in 1918 with the Spanish flu. You know, it's part of the reality of being an animal on a planet.
And
right?
Living in close quarters, this could happen.
For sure. And New York is obviously going to have a much higher rate of infection than probably any other place because we have the population density here. Mm-hmm. And people cram on the subways. People are cramming into restaurants, cramming into nightclubs and bars, right? Everything that's compelling about New York is this physical, kinetic, you know, very visceral, compact existence. It's exactly what a virus needs to spread. But that doesn't mean that you're safe in your mega church or in your football stadium or, you know, even out hunting with friends. Like, this thing is like, you know.
Or playing bocce ball in Florida. You're not safe.
It's, you know, and look, it's very easy to look at the numbers and make decisions. But when you know people that have died from it, as I do know.
And I do too.
It brings it, that's when the rubber hits the road, right? And that's when it's like you're not looking at this in terms of like will your favorite restaurant or the industry survive. We're talking about like this could be existential, right? Like this could inexorably alter the way that we live, right? Handshakes, thing of the past probably, right? A lot more hand washing, like, you know. You mentioned the masks, like that might just be a seasonal thing from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, if it's flu season, people are going to wear masks.
You've been to Asia many, many times, and I lived in Japan for a while. People, when they were sick or not feeling well, they would wear masks. That was something common.
It's a sense, and there's a sense of sort of civic responsibility of that is, you know, that signals, right? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of shocked at how New Yorkers really came together on this thing, right? Because as we just said, this is a human thing. It doesn't give a fuck what you are, right? It just cares that you're human and that you didn't wash your hands.
Yeah,
like that's what this virus cares.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, if you break it down, that
face, right, which we're constantly doing, which I feel, you know, but.
But it's funny too how they've explained how to wash your hands, and I keep thinking, or what's happened to us that we don't know how to properly wash our hands?
Put it this way, if you've never been to a USDA facility, you may not have ever.
No, yeah, that's true. No, I agree. No,
but if you've been to like a USDA facility or a butcher shop or a restaurant that really, you know, that whole procedure, that doing it twice, doing the thumbs, especially like right between the webs, right, like all of that stuff is, you know, but that is going to be the new normal. Right. I'm going to see a lot more. I don't know. It's so random. I was just thinking about this. It was in Texas, Austin, Texas. I think it was Mighty Burger. Is it Mighty? Maybe not Mighty Burger. And they had this machine that was just, it almost looked like where you get your cups out of at a 7-Eleven, and it was these two, you know, holes that you stick your hands in. And it was a whole cleaning system.
Wow.
The base was touchless. But it was spraying detergent on you and then whisking it away. And I was like, that is what we need.
Yeah, that's I think a lot of inventions, they always come out of problems like this. But I think a lot of things will come out of that. And I also think that there should be something for healthcare workers that is a simple suit, something that's lightweight, comfortable, that they can get on quickly, that's not expensive. Like someday they might invent something that's really easy, that keeps them completely protected, they can pop on and it put in a machine or I don't know, something.
Yeah, look, the problem that we have, that we're always fighting the last war, right? So some idiot tries blowing up a plane with shoes. We're fucking still taking our shoes off at airports, you know? It's like, I'm not saying we don't have to worry about it, but when we beat this virus, this pandemic, like, we need to be thinking about what this is going to mutate into, not what it did to us last time. So yeah, of course, that will happen, but... You know, I think a better expenditure of human intellectual rigor and use would be like figuring out like, yeah, how do we deal with this? Maybe not disbanding the agencies that we need and, you know, whatever the solution is.
I was thinking the same thing, that we do have to, like, people were saying like how this is going to alter our lives and alter everything or the new normal. But like I was telling people, the new normal, when the guy tried to bomb the plane with his shoes, apparently everyone took their shoes off. Then the liquid thing with the plane. So there's been a new normal. In general, I think that we've had steps of new normal. It's just this is a major one.
And I think culturally, it's not. Look, if we get a vaccine in the next year or so, which I think it's like it's pretty likely to happen that we will get a vaccine. I think things have a pretty good chance of returning to a fairly similar semblance of of the way we lived. So we're still going to have, you know, restaurants. The line at Snow's. Can you imagine a Snow's? If you had to sit six feet apart, that line will go all the way to Austin from Lexington.
It would go so far out of town. I was thinking about that same thing.
I think that eventually, and also the idea about wearing masks, social distancing, all of these things, like, I think that if we have a vaccine soon enough, we're going to go back to the Roaring Twenties came out after the Spanish flu.
That's true. Okay? That is very true.
The Jazz Age and speakeasies. People were jam-packed in, like, sardines. You look at pictures of, like, when the stock market crashed, right? Those pictures of everyone. It's like, we probably learned a lot less than we should have. But the fact is that we went back to this idea of life as being, you know, full contact.
For sure.
So I'm hoping, because I enjoy life that way.
Yeah.
Okay. I grew up in punk rock. The idea of stage diving with no one to catch you is terrifying, right? Like,
it's the worst. Let's talk a little bit about the meat world in New York. Have you been, I'm sure you've been in contact with people. What's the sense? Are there other places to go, other places that people might not know of that have takeout that are off people's radar? Or
I have not been eating takeout, I'll say. I've cooked every meal at home. That was just my, like, when I was in a social distance, that was part of it. And I think that getting a delivery or going out to get, so I go out like once a week. Yeah. I have been getting food. I've been getting meat delivered to my
house. I've noticed that. That's genius.
I will probably now, look, we flattened the curve. It does seem that we've been quarantined for another month or whatever, but
so.
There's definitely, there has been an easing, I think, or it's just that we're getting used to the new normal of wearing masks, of socially distancing. Now aisles in supermarkets have
the tape
out. There is definitely, I guess we're getting used to it maybe.
Have you talked to people like Pat LaFrieda and talked to these guys and seen what they're, what's the sense? Are people ordering a lot of meat to be shipped? Is that higher?
LaFrieda in particular was in a good position because they were already doing home delivery. Exactly. So they have the infrastructure, they have the delivery mechanism. Mm-hmm. The other guys, like there's other brands, other purveyors that are definitely getting into the home delivery game.
The Rucker Brothers is out here in California. I didn't notice.
Brothers does limited shipping. Okay. Obviously, it's a little more expensive because they sell high end beef, and they don't have an infrastructure. Like I think LaFrieda goes through Gold Belly, so mm-hmm. that's already very robust.
And the Shake Shack stuff, they get Gold Belly, yeah.
Exactly. So they already have that delivery mechanism. They also sell through Fresh Direct, I believe.
I think so.
I think Rucker Brothers will go through FedEx, so you'll end up paying that. But listen, if you want high quality, you know, imported and luxury goods, mm-hmm. like that's another option.
Yeah, yeah, and you could order Snows, you could order EV Maze, you could order Truth, you could order a bunch of different places, barbecue wise too. And it's expensive, but it's a treat.
It's expensive, it's a treat, but you're also helping out the restaurant.
Exactly,
that's like now I was very much into the social. Now in the next. Because I know we're going to be down for another 6 weeks.
Like, easily.
You know, easily. Yeah. Look, because we're on California and New York. So mm-hmm. what we're experiencing, other places will be getting in another month or two or 3 weeks in terms of how your medical system is. Now, hopefully, like, the ventilators that we have surplus will be shipped down. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, that's where the federal government really does need to step in and sort of manage the resources, right?
What was your image of Cuomo? What did you think of Cuomo before this?
I don't like anyone. Like, I've always been... like seriously, I can't think of... I don't get inspired by politicians.
No. But I think he's in a pretty... But also, too...
I think in terms of the management in the moment, yes.
Yes.
And in terms of communicating, he's done an excellent job. The fact is that we were let down by every... You can put this in, I don't care. Every state and federal agency let us down. Because mm-hmm. the writing was on the wall. We had the same infection rate that South Korea had at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had the first, like the same day, we had deaths on the same day almost, right? And they managed to totally mitigate it because they learned from other people. And that's the thing, the problem with our culture and our society is that we're unwilling to learn from other people's mistakes. Like, we want to learn from our own mistake.
that's not always,
it's an admirable trait. But it's not always beneficial. Fact is, if we'd all shut down we'd be opening restaurants already, right?
Uh-huh. No, exactly.
Cooking at home, I'd be going out to eat.
Uh-huh.
Now, that would obviously be socially distant. It probably would have been what we're going to be doing in another 2 months. But the fact is, like, the sooner you nip this in the bud, the quicker we would have got back to regular life.
Yeah, you know? The best way to deal with this was to shut the country down. And deal with it, and deal with the heartache then, and show a smart plan about it. Because I have a good friend in Seattle, so Seattle, I was getting, and if you're on Twitter, you and I are on Twitter, you knew the writing was on the wall in January. What was happening? Like, you knew what was happening.
Yeah, and if you just get any modicum of international news, like watch the news networks here, because they just basically, it's like to me, like, and I'm talking about all of them, whether it's CNN, Fox, MSNBC. It's literally like watching a Hanna-Barbera cartoon background, right? Where the cartoon background just keeps, it's the same cityscape over and over again, the same fucking news stories. You would think that there was like, you know, and it's like, so I just say stay away from that, play some music, mm-hmm. listen to rock and roll, maybe put on some international news, like.
Yeah, no, definitely. Are you listening to more music? You are probably, you listen to music all the time. Are you watching me?
Tiger King thing, that was ludicrous.
I honestly, because of the animal thing, it looked like animal abuse, and I'm like, I can't.
But I feel like one of those tigers, like being stuck in my, even though I have it pretty good here. I have a home theater. Look, this is my room. It's like a home theater with a big screen, and, you know, I have a treadmill.
Where's your bag? Do you hang it in that room?
No, it's in the other room.
Are you still doing the intermittent fasting?
I've been doing it until last week, and I was like, I'm going to take a couple of weeks off this because life is so boring anyway. And then to not have a meal for 36 hours is just like, you know, I'm going to probably do, I'll probably fast next week at some point. I'll do a day.
I've screenshotted some of your fasting tips, because I would like to do that someday. I've just never tried that, but I think it's...
Thinking about switching to doing is one that's become quite popular here in the States is doing, you do like a 16-hour fast. So you basically, it's called a time-restricted eating, I believe.
Okay. Oh, yeah. My cousin does, like, he doesn't eat after 8 o'clock or something like that. But he also does, like, ayahuasca a lot, or he does, like... He comes down to Topanga Canyon in L.A., and I'm like, you've been coming near me for all these years? He's like, yeah, I come for, like, 3 days, and it's like, oh, shit.
I go that wilderness and tripped out?
Yeah. That he has to have a spirit guide. His spirit animal is an owl, he told me.
So, mine is a hot
dog. So what? Hot dog? Okay, that could be, like, the takeaway. Nick's spirit animal is a hot dog. I talked to a couple of days ago, Ali Khan, and he was talking about Joe Jr.'s with you.
Yeah, man, I hope that place comes back.
He said that was one of his favorite visits that he's ever had in his life.
It's for those that don't know, it's my local diner, but also my favorite hamburger in New York. Yeah, just a great place.
And you were traveling. Are you guys editing Meat Life episodes? Because I saw you were traveling a lot before this.
We were in the middle of doing the next season, which was going to be Texas. Okay. That got all canceled. We have a couple of episodes that are in the can, but they're not edited. So that's just kind of on hold. And what we're actually doing is Zoom is kind of our new medium.
Okay.
So, I mean, Meat Life is my company that does my show. It's a production company. But we also have clients like these fine gentlemen, Otto Wild.
Okay.
The Otto Wild Grill?
I don't.
Oh, this thing is amazing. It's not really a barbecue thing, but it's basically a steakhouse broiler for your backyard.
Oh, really? Okay. No, I'm meat. Not just barbecue. I'm meat. Okay.
No, I know. But it is like, it's the size of a toaster oven.
Okay.
A top-down broiler, so like a salamander or mm-hmm. any kind of steakhouse broiler. Mm-hmm. Two double burners, 1,500 degrees,
shit,
propane powered. It cooks a steak in like, I mean, if it's a thin steak, in like minutes.
Really?
It's like, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Okay, I'll put a link to that. I want to check that out.
So this is kind of, I mean, look, this is technically a paid ad because they're a client of mine.
That's okay. It's people.
I mean, we do media work for them and we help them out with their messaging. And on Monday the 27th, we're doing a webinar with John Tizar in Dallas.
Okay.
Cooking on the Ottawa Grill. Then I'm going to be in New York kind of like hosting the event.
Okay.
And then we have the designer or the son of the designer, Nils Wild, in Germany going, like showing the product line.
That's rad. That's okay. So that's, you did something with John Tizar before, right?
It was actually with, I mean, I've done videos with him, but John is, for those that don't, I mean, obviously, you know, everyone knows
yeah,
John.
He's really,
in terms of like driving forward the sort of knowledge and the art and craft of steak aging and cooking, like he is at the forefront of that. He's at the real vanguard of that movement.
And I talked to Daniel. He got a bunch of steaks from him because he was selling them like half price almost, or like a third of the price, because he didn't want to age them anymore.
Yeah, well, he's just moved. Yeah, so he's got two restaurants. He's got Knife in Dallas and in Plano. And obviously they go through a lot of steaks during the course of, you know, their regular life. The restaurants are closed now. He's got to move the product. Otherwise, it's going to sit there and age, which is fine, but why not give steaks to the people? They need it.
And I felt bad because he has a place out here in California that he was just about to open, I believe.
Outer Reef?
Yeah. And I was talking to him before. We were DMing, trying to figure out a time to do an interview, but now he probably has a little more time at his hands. He was really busy back then trying to get that thing open.
One of the things we're going to be doing is doing like... Look, my show, if this keeps up, my show is going to become a cooking show, right? Just because what else are we going to do? I'll just pivot to cooking for the time being. And then when the restaurants open up again, I'll go back to the restaurants.
Are you saving those videos that you're doing?
They're all saved, but they're not. It's all done on my phone.
Yeah, it's still something that I think could be usable.
Everything I'm doing right now, and I don't know if you follow my Instagram, I'm basically I've never cooked a steak the same way twice in the last month. And I've cooked steak, you know, every other day I'm cooking a steak. So what I'm really doing is working on a cookbook. I'm working on content.
Okay. Right?
But it's all going to end up being something at the end of this. It'll be a cookbook. It'll be a video series. It'll all, you know.
If people want to come utilize you for help with marketing, they just, is it the same?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, look, if you have a vegetarian hamburger company, we're probably not a good fit.
No.
We're basically a media agency with an agenda.
Okay.
That is the furtherance of Meat Life.
And actually, this is the perfect time because people need to as this, as the curve continues to flatten and as life comes back to some sort of normalcy, people will want to promote their products and want to get the word out that they're still around. And
it's going to be very, very challenging. We all know about the disaster of the PPP and the whole Shake Shack thing and Ruth Chris getting money that really should have gone, should have gone to the independent guys, right? Should have gone to small. And look, I'm not going to fault a corporation for doing what capitalism is, right? Because engaging in the acquisition of capital and wealth, that's just the system we live under, right? At the same time, you've got to blame the person that left the fucking hen house door open, right? This comes down. You can't blame Shake Shack is a fox, okay? Ruth, and I love Shake Shack. I've been a Shake Shack fan since day one, and I think what they did was actually kind of admirable in giving the money back, and I've always believed in them as a company. At the same time, they're a publicly traded company, all right? Their interest is making money for their shareholders.
For sure, yes, without a doubt.
You can't forget that about any company. I don't care how much you love the hamburger company, that whatever it is, right? End of the day, it's about making money. The point is that the system should not be set up so that a company that has, you know, however many employees can get the money.
And that, but that happens in government, maybe. I'm just saying in government in general.
The whole system is rancid and corrupt. It always has been. And you know, it probably always fucking will be. I mean, you know, it's just that the industry is not going to survive if it doesn't have serious intervention. Rent abatement, you know, tax, all of these things have to happen.
Are any of the things, are things coming back to normal at all in England?
I think it's even, they're worse off there than we are.
Are they?
England's even slower to act. Look, remember, they're a lot closer to Europe. So the...
My cousin in Spain was saying that they've been locked down for weeks before us.
Yeah, but Spain and Italy are now kind of coming out at the end of the... Yeah. You know, I mean, again, we're still talking about hundreds of deaths, right? Hundreds of people dying.
Yeah, per day.
Yeah, and I think what happened, the acceleration of that was... happened because they didn't have the hospital beds available. So they had to make triage decisions. And that, obviously, you're choosing who's going to live and who's going to die. We never had that position here. Like, nobody died that wouldn't have died for the lack of medical attention or equipment, you know? That said, we've run this system to the, you know, the system has been completely just exhausted, right? And we're talking physical, obviously. The sort of the heroism that has been exhibited by the medical people working crazy hours under, frankly, I mean, really dangerous position, right? The PPEs they need, they don't, you know, it's like you see people using like New York Yankee.
Oh, the ponchos, know, yeah.
Like, it's like.
And actually, some of them were asking the Yankees for ponchos too. I think that was at a time where.
That's what it came down to. Yeah. You know, it's pretty.
It's like grabbing a trash bag when you go on like a water ride at a water park or something. It's like, it just doesn't make sense.
Right. It doesn't inspire confidence in a.
Do you see that when you bike around? Do you see the hospitals and the workers? And do you see does it look like stress? I'm just curious.
It looks, everything is very placid when you're outside, but you know that when you're driving by and every hospital has a morgue truck or two in front of it.
Oh, yeah.
No, you see it's that. Not normal. Like, it's just not. Like, I'm looking at one right now. I can see it. It's right there. It's really dark.
That is wild.
If you only read Twitter and look at the internet and read and watch the news channels, it seems like it's a subject that you can debate and maybe even sort of convince yourself that, you know, maybe this whole thing is just ridiculous. But look, the reality on the ground is people are dying by the like tens of thousands, and it's not. The danger isn't that, like, and a lot of these people would have died anyway. I grant you that. They're old people. They have existing conditions, right? Ooh. The problem becomes when we oversaturate the medical system, then everybody dies. People that, the guy that broke his leg, you know, and the guy that has a chest go that could have been.
Or that needs a stint or right? Something, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the real danger. Mm-hmm. And you think that you're, exempt in a rural area, like, your medical services for every 100 people are like inconsequential compared to what we have in a big city. Mm-hmm. You know, I have, as I said, I look around, I'm looking at major hospitals, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in a rural area, like where is your closest hospital, right? And where is the closest hospital that can actually perform life-saving surgery? That's probably a helicopter ride away. You know what I'm saying?
People that think they're safe and immune, yes.
Right. I mean, our medical system is tenuous at best of times. But we make it through every flu season. You know, people die, but life carries on. This thing is just going to exhaust that. capability. That's the real danger here, right?
That's so shitty. What's the first thing you want after this is over? Is there something you've been thinking about?
Well, I don't know if I go for the last restaurant meal I had, which was the grill. I had, which was an amazing meal, my favorite restaurant. Or do I go like Joe Jr., my favorite diner? So I don't know. I'm sure I'll know. You know, I'm sure when it opens up. Like, the choice may be made for us, right? Like, half of the restaurants we want to eat at may never come back. I mean, we have to face that reality that, like, it's not just that life will change in the way that we interact. It's that life is going to change sort of culturally, irreparably, because places and, you know, places that we love may not be there anymore.
Yeah, that's a stark reality. It's going to happen. And I was curious. I wanted to ask you, I wore this because of Carl. Because he wore this hat a lot, and I was talking to Simon Majumdar last week about Carl, and I was texting him right before he passed because we were finally going to talk, and he finally just said yes. I was just curious, what would Heath think of this, or what would his reaction be?
I mean, I think that there would never be a time when the world needed Carl Ruiz more than
I agree.
Than this, we're all locked up, and what we need is that kind of. Just absolutely escapism, right? Ruizing, I mean, obviously Ruizing at home would have been, you know, I think what actually would have happened with Carl is that he would have started cooking. Mm-hmm. You know, he would have watched the Home Shopping Network for 2 hours a day and commented on it. That was my favorite thing he ever did.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that was.
But then he would have started cooking, and I think he would have understood. He wasn't an idiot. Like he understood what this was and the impact it would have on the industry. But I also see him, he'd be out, you know, feeding the hospital workers, doing, you know,
like Jose, he'd be involved with, you know, I miss him like crazy, but I wasn't even as close.
Like cigarettes and like.
What was it? What did he highlight? Was that what he. there's certain people that you just, there's unique people that never come again. And that was just
one in a billion.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'm jealous that you had the chance to get to know him as well, because I think that's the kind of soul you want to connect with, and you're a lucky guy. And I feel my condolences always to you.
No, thank you. But like, honestly, he touched so many people. You know, it would have been amazing to have him around. I mean, for any reason, but especially in the time of COVID-19.
Thank you for everything you do, and I love your watching your stories, and keep doing those are awesome.
I'll try. Thank you. I'll you know, everyone just stay safe out there, and you know, we can get through this. If we work together on it, like, we'll get through it sooner.
Yeah, definitely. And people should check out old episodes of Meat Life. They're a definite use of escapism. They're
and it's like, you've got nothing to do but waste time. You might as well waste it watching a stupid show about meat.
And watching you, you're always so well-dressed. And if you want to see someone that's very well-dressed around meat, that's important. You should check out Meat Life. But thank you for everything you do. Yeah, good to see you.
Thank you, brother.
Stay safe. Cheers. All right, take care.